This conference will now be recorded.
I pledge allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. See if I can get through these babies. This meeting will be conducted by electronic means in accordance with the Senator Byron M. Bear Open Public Meeting Act of 2020 and explicitly permits a public body to conduct meeting electronically during the state of emergency. Governor Murphy issued Executive Orders 103, 107, declaring a public health emergency and stating state of emergency and directing residents to quarantine and practice social distancing. Where's my normal Seabright? In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, Borough Seabright has, I'm going by memory now, Borough Seabright has posted not on my agenda. Where's that the agenda? Pardon me. One sec. I'm spacing the rest of it.
Lance, I can read it for you.
Provided the daytime and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, publish the same in the Asbury Park Press official newspaper, filed notice with the borough clerk, and posted notice on the borough website in the borough offices. There it is. Thank you all for showing up tonight. Hope you're all well. Could we have a roll call, please?
All right. Ms. Bills?
Here.
Mr. Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Here.
Mayor Kelly is absent. Councilman Lexstein?
I am here.
Mr. Knott? Not here. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Ray is absent. Ms. Gorman?
Here.
And Mr. Booker?
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, it's Dave Oder. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Better.
Hey, Terry, did you get that email?
Yes, thank you.
I lose my agenda. I haven't gone anywhere.
Well, you just read from it.
What's that?
I said, and you just read from it.
No, I've read from memory and then from minutes. I have everything in front of me, but
it's the approval of the 10:27:20 minutes is next.
Could we move along to that? To the October 27th minutes. Is there any further discussion? I have the minutes, but I've lost my agenda. Once again, I apologize. Any discussion on the minutes or a motion?
I move that they be accepted as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay.
We have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Bills? Peggy? There you go. Thank you. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Giulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
I'm going to abstain since the second part was on the use variance.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Mr. Booker?
Yes.
Thank you.
I hate to say it, but I don't have the agenda.
Oh, no. Lance was in.
I have everything else.
It was in there.
It didn't go anywhere unless it's still in the...
Okay, the next matter, Mr. Chairman, would be application of Heather Foreman, 13 New Street, Block 13, Lot 5. Planning Board, Zoning Board application 2020-16.
Thank you, Carrie. It was stuck to the... an extra packet. Thank you. Moving on to that. Heather?
Okay, so I'll be stepping down and presenting myself as a representative, right?
We need to let the record show that Heather is a member of this board and is applying for relief.
So she is stepping down from the board as an applicant. And preliminarily, I have reviewed the jurisdictional packet. Same appears to be in good order. I've marked same as A1. I've marked as A2. It's entitled site plan, but it's by the parallel architects. The architectural group, sorry, dated 10/20/20. Those are the only two items I have for evidence right now. This is an application to add a new rear deck to provide additional egress. The application has some pre-existing variances, including lot area. 1,800 square feet is required, 1,367 is existing. Depth, 60 feet is required, 14.4 is existing. Building coverage, 50% is permitted, 54% pre-existing. Lot coverage, 70% permitted, 71% is existing. And she requires a new rear yard setback variance where 15 feet is required and 3 feet 6 inches is proposed. And from that, I will turn it over to Ms. Gorman.
Okay. Do I need to be sworn in?
Sure do. I didn't know if you were calling a witness or you're going to do it. So, Rick, your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And can you just state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Heather Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N.
Okay.
Excellent. Did you say that A1, did you say that A1 were the pictures? It was hard to hear.
A1 is the jurisdictional packet. A2 is the site plan.
Okay.
I didn't see pictures in my...
They're probably in the packet. I think they're probably just connected to the packet then.
Okay. I can mark. Let me just open up my plans again and I'll double check it.
They're on the application.
Okay, so how many photographs are there?
There's just two. There's one that shows like grass on the background, and there's another that shows kind of just a patio.
Okay, so I'll mark as A3, A and B.
Okay.
Two photos.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so we are, as the application mentions, looking to have an exit from our second story. Our house was built in 2005. The entrance to the house is obviously on the first floor, but it's an inside entrance that takes you to the living area on the second and third floor. So over the years, we've always wanted to find another way to produce an exit from the second story instead of being on the third story, having to go down to the second and then all the way down to the first to get out of the house. Also, if you look at A2, the site plan, what you actually see on the very front in the far left is you see lot 13, number 5, which is the house that we're talking about. That's 13 New Street. Directly behind it is block 13, lot 31. We also own that property. So if you look at A3A, that's the image, it basically shows you a photograph from Church Street looking onto the property, onto New Street. So what you see is we haven't built upon that land, and we don't have an intention to build upon the land. It's actually just a backyard lot, essentially. And then if you look at A3, picture photograph B, this shows you essentially the property line. If you look in the front of the picture, there's a wooden fence. And if you were to make a kind of like diagonal line to the plastic fence in the back, that essentially shows you where the property line of the house is. So we are looking.
Are you able to pull up any of those pictures just to show them for the public? Or can anybody put them up?
I'll see if I can find them.
I don't have a picture of the wood fence, but in my packet. But I did go there today, and that's a really nice wood fence on the street over, correct?
Correct.
Yes, okay. And the you're saying the lot behind there is yours?
Yes.
Thank you. Looks great,
okay,
by the way.
Goodness. Thank you. Yeah, that's A3A. So that's what Lance is talking about. So that's this is from Church Street going all the way to the essentially the border, the back lot of New Street. And then the next picture, Candace, thank you, is A3B. So essentially, right up in the front right corner is the start of that wood fence. And then if you look towards the second house behind and that plastic white fence in the back, that essentially is, you know, as no property in Seabright is like rectangularly perfect, it's kind of like angled. So it has a little angle that goes from that wood fence all the way to the back plastic fence. So that's essentially what we're looking at. And if you go back to A3A, Candace, thank you. Right below the third floor window is essentially where we're looking to have the exit. And you can actually see that if you go to A2, kind of the second page of the site plan. You'll basically see that there's an exit that would come out onto the deck, and then it would go in essentially into a spiral staircase. So we're not making this a big deck to hang out. We're just looking to exit the house and get down to ground level. Because we have, you know, a yard outside. We're not like our neighbors, they have larger decks because they like to sit out there. We just want to get outside. So based on the existing requirements, we are looking for relief. 3.6 is proposed, and a 15-foot relief for the rear yard setback is required. But we're looking at that as we also own the property directly connected to the backyard, and it's only solely used as a backyard lot. So that's where you see on from Candace, right below that third story window, that would be the door to get outside to the porch or the deck, and then it would just be a spiral staircase down to the backyard.
So Heather, it's Mark. I'm assuming one of the reasons you want this is for safety reasons, to have proper ingress and egress from the house?
Completely. Like when you're up on the third floor, we have 3 bedrooms. And in order to get outside, you have to go down to the second floor and then again out, down, all the way down to the first floor. So this provides us an exit from the second story.
Right. And so that it's more than just a luxury. It actually is a safety issue.
No, it's yeah. Currently right now, behind that third floor window, we have one of those emergency ladders that you can throw out the window. It sits there, thankfully never opened. But it's something we think about. You know, I have a daughter who's 7 who lives here, and then we also have 3 other children who are here often. So it's just it's nice to be able to have. And
absolutely.
The back coming out the back seems like the most logical way to do it. We did look on both of the sides of the houses, but on the east side of our house, we actually have an easement. So technically, if we were to build, we could strike against anyone in that Verizon area wherever it's built out to a proper home, like this other house go through, and also on the west side of the house, there are space.
Heather, I'm kind of losing you.
We looked at what was the anywhere way we could put an exit on the second floor outside of the house. We looked at the east side of the house, but there's an easement that we have with the Verizon property next to us. So right. That doesn't seem like a logical permanent sort of move should that ever turn into a larger family house.
Yeah, yes. I looked at that today.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. The only place to put this is in the backyard. It's the only place that makes any sense. So, I like the application. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
I agree, Mark.
And Mark, you know, I'm a big proponent of the second means to egress out of the home for safety reasons. So, I think it's a good idea.
Anyone else have a question of Heather's testimony?
No.
Any further discussion or a motion?
We got open to the public.
I know, we're getting there. Anyone from the public care to ask a question about the testimony or make a statement? Not the public portion is now closed. Anyone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All righty. Sure. Ms. Bills? Ms. Bills? Oh, I am on mute. I'm sorry. Okay, Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Mr. Cashmore? Chairman?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham.
Yes.
Mr. Giulio.
Yes.
Mr. DeSeo.
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Booker.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, good luck with that, Heather.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well. Heather, you plan on keeping the lot for a while, or that is a subdivided lot, correct?
It is. It's totally not subdivided.
It matters now, just for my interest.
Yeah. and they're in separate ownership, actually. Not the same. They're not in common ownership.
Sorry, my husband owns the backyard, and we both own the front, the new street.
However, that's to be noted.
It's probably good to have that on the record.
Thank you. Carrie, am I allowed to come back on?
Yes, everything is done with yours.
Done, and I'll be leaving, so Heather and I are like passing like crazy the night.
Actually, Heather?
Yeah?
You're on the 200-foot list for this one.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
Yes?
I didn't get a notice. I don't think, really?
Let me check. Let me double check.
No, I wouldn't be.
No?
No, it's too
close.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, nowhere's near her.
Never mind that.
Yeah. No, that's north.
I thought I saw it.
What are you talking about? The next application all the way up at North Beach?
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got it mixed up.
It should be fine.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, I'm stepping down to the use variance that I can tell you. I'm not legally allowed to participate.
Understood, Mark. Thank you very much. Let the record show that Mr. Lexstein has stepped down from this. We're moving on to 250 Ocean Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I did just review the notice, and it is not within.
it's in either one.
I have no idea.
Okay, so we're moving on to block 30, block 52. And is, let me go back to this one over here. Sorry.
I don't see Mr. Kennedy on yet, though. Oh, here he is. Perfect timing.
He's coming.
he's here. He's perfect timing.
This is for Alice Glennon.
Yes, and again, this is 250 Ocean Avenue, block 30, lot 52. It's a request for both a use and a bulk variance, and Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed the jurisdictional packet, notices, et cetera. They all were in good order. I've marked that as A1. I've marked as A2 the survey by Land Control, dated 9/5/17. A3 are the architectural plans by Apex, dated 7/20/17/2-20, revised to E3-20. A4 is a grading plan by RC Associates, dated 8/11/20. And A5 is the photo. And those are all the exhibits that I have, Mr. Kennedy. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's acceptable. I don't have any further at this time.
Okay.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you. Sorry I'm a little late. Good evening, and welcome. Good evening to everybody. My name is Kevin Kennedy, and I am coming to you tonight, appearing to you, before you, on behalf of Alice Glennon, 250 Ocean Avenue. Mr. Chairman, this is an existing two-family structure. It was built many, many, many decades ago, and it needs some tender, loving care for the modern family. What my client is proposing to do is to demolish the existing two-family structure and replace it with a new two-family structure. Obviously, we are in the R2 zone, so as Kerry Higgins indicated, we need use variance approval for the continuation, since we're demolishing it, for the continuation of the two-family structure. That is generally the gist of our application. Mr. Chairman, I have Alice Glennon, who will testify very briefly as a homeowner, and also her son, Jim Jansen, who will testify very briefly just with regard to some of the functional limitations. I then have Pandora Jacobs, who is our builder. She will testify briefly. And then we have Ray Carpenter here, who will be doing double duty tonight as an engineer and also a planner. So, Mr. Chairman, if no objections, I could have Alice Glennon sworn.
Yes, please.
Ms. Glennon, now you're just appearing here. You don't have video?
We have video.
Yes.
Well, we don't see you. Oh, wait, there you are. Okay, so you're under Jim Jansen then. Yes?
Well, I think it's different on everybody's computer.
Yeah.
But
give me a wave, Mrs. Glennon, so I can see you. Can you wave?
Can you see me? No.
is your camera on?
Is that better? No.
I don't believe your camera is on.
Well, I can see me.
We hear you, but your camera's not on.
Carrie, should we just be with the phone version or the without camera? Or...
First off, anyone, Mrs. Glennon, can you mute yourselves? That's a lot of feedback. It does not, yeah, I'm not sure of members of the public, but yeah, I mean, you can proceed with just the audio. It's not optimal, but if she's not capable of getting the video on, that's how we'll have to go.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, Ms. Glennon, can you... Yes. Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Alice Glennon, G-L-E-N-N-O-N.
And just because Alice is not a traditional spelling, can you spell that one for us, Sim?
Surely, A-L-Y-C-E.
Very good. Kevin, all yours.
Okay. Good evening, Ms. Glennon, and thank you. So let's cut right to the chase. We're talking about the property located at 250 Ocean Avenue in Seabright. Are you the owner of that property?
Yes.
And roughly, how long have you owned that property?
Over 50 years.
Okay. So I somewhere along the line, my notes had suggested you've owned it since about 1963. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So like you said, that's a long time. And now, you presumably heard my introduction where I said there's an existing two-family home at the site. Is that correct?
Yes, it's been one.
Okay. And we have, there's an upstairs unit and a downstairs unit, correct?
Correct.
And just for the record, if you know, the upstairs unit, how many bedrooms?
Two bedrooms upstairs.
And how many bathrooms upstairs?
One.
So upstairs is two bedrooms and one bathroom. And what about the downstairs unit?
We converted that to one big bedroom because it needed space.
Okay, so right.
One bathroom. Right.
Okay, so right now the downstairs unit is one bedroom and one bathroom.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge as to when this house was built, roughly?
No, I really don't.
Okay. I think your son might have some information, and we'll get that in momentarily. But just in the meantime, back in 1963, did you buy this house as a two-family home?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, since 1963, it's always been pretty much utilized as a two-family home?
Yes.
And I understand, if I should ask this, that you lived there on and off and for various summers. Is that correct?
Yes, I've lived there, and then we've also lived there summers.
Okay. And is it safe to say that owning this property since about 1963, that your heart is in Seabright?
Oh, I love Seabright. I've loved it since I'm a little girl. I'm 87, and I've been coming to Seabright for when there was railroad tracks in front of my house.
And I think... when I was on the phone with you and your son yesterday, is it safe to say four generations of family members have grown up in that or experienced that house?
Oh, of course, yes, of course.
Okay. And I said at the introduction, and I did not mean, well, let me just, one thing. I know you indicated that you love the community. But I also think that this particular community is attractive for you because you have other family members who live right next door, correct?
Oh, my daughter and I, our houses were twin houses. And then 2 years ago, she gutted her house and built a bigger house. And I have the same plans, hopefully, for my house. And then my neighbor there, I've known them for, I guess, 50 years also, so... Yes, it's home.
And what about, I had said at the beginning of the meeting, and I did not mean this to be disrespectful in any sense, but I indicated that the existing home really wasn't built for the needs of a modern family. Would you agree with that?
No, it's no, very little closet space, very little anything, yes.
And what about bedroom sizes?
Very small. My son maybe would know the dimensions, but you can fit a bed in there and maybe one small dresser, and that's it.
Okay. And your proposal is to demolish the existing two-family structure and build a new two-family structure. And do you, if we get the approval, do you anticipate living in one of those units?
Yes. At my age, I need help, I guess, and my son is going to live on the top floor, and then I'm going to have the first floor, and my daughter then is right across the easement in her house, so I'd be with my family.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for this witness. Just so you know, I do have her son testifying, who will be testifying to some of the more technical issues of existing limitations with the house. So well, I don't
know. Kevin, why don't we see if any of the board members have a question?
Sure.
This one.
Okay.
Anybody? No, I don't either. So.
How about public?
Long. Thank you very much, Ms. Flynn.
Do you want to do public for her now, or do you want to wait?
We'll do one public for the whole thing.
Okay.
All right, so Ms. Glennon, don't hang up on us. I'll bring in Jim Jansen.
Mr. Jansen, can you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
James Johnson, and it's J-A-H-N-S-E-N.
All right, good evening. And just for the record, you are the son of Alice, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you're obviously familiar with the application, and you're very familiar with the property, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And just for the record, before we get into some of the details, why don't you just explain, there's a sort of a unique right-of-way that runs through the property. Why don't you just sort of explain that with that shared right-of-way?
Sure. There's a big lot. We all own individual properties within this big lot, but there are five homes that are on that lot. Actually, when we first moved there, there were only three, and it was the beach right behind us. There is, in between our house and my sister Diane's house, which is 252, there's a driveway that's shared going all the way to the house furthest west, right on the river. So the driveway goes down to that house, and then it juts left and right so that we have access to the river. And so the people in the back have access to Ocean Avenue.
Okay. And just for the record, Ms. Higgins, when we did the notice, we noticed everyone within 200 feet of the entire easement right-of-way area, just to avoid any issues. So, Jim, we were talking about, and your mother sort of deferred this question to you, some of the house not being built for the needs of a modern family. Can you describe, with some sort of more technical detail, some of the deficiencies and limitations associated with the existing structure?
Yeah, I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. The house was built in 1940. So back in 1940, most of the homes, I believe, in Seabright were, at least around us, were bungalows, and they really were meant for just the summer. This house is built really for the summer in that it's not insulated. We've got a furnace in it, and do heat it, but it just isn't really built for year round efficiently. We have a basement, and the basement is where we have the furnace, and we have the water heater, and we have an electrical panel, washer and dryer, all of those things. If we get a full moon and a high tide, and especially if there's any kind of a storm or a huge tide, it gets flooded, and that may just be, under normal circumstances, a foot or two, but if there's a storm, it could be 4 foot, 6 foot, going all the way up to the ceiling of the basement. So over the years, we've had to put in new furnaces, new water heaters, new washer and dryers, new electrical panels, because it gets flooded, not to mention that the whole house is damp as a result of that basement. The stairs that go from the basement up to the first floor, they've been damaged over the years because of the flooding. But
are they narrow stairs?
Oh yes, you could only fit one person at a time going up or down. Very narrow.
What about? I think I sort of got a kick out of this. You had an interesting experience that you had to get a box board up to the top?
Oh, yeah. We had a queen size, because you can't get mattresses up there. We got a spiral staircase that goes from the first floor on up to the second floor, and it's very narrow. Only one person can go up or down, and we put in a queen-size bed, and to get the box spring for the queen-size bed, I had to actually saw it in half so we could get it up the stairs.
Okay. And what about, based upon what you were saying, it is not flood FEMA compliant right now, correct?
Correct.
And you've got mechanicals on the ground floor or lower?
Lower.
What do you mean mechanicals?
The furnace, all
of those are in the, we ended up moving the washer and dryer up to the first floor because we got tired of just having to buy new ones, replacing them. But the furnace is actually bolted to the ceiling of the basement, but that still gets flooded because the water comes up that high.
And likewise, I'm assuming you had, like so many other unfortunate people, you had some issues with Hurricane Sandy, correct?
Yes.
And what about right now? Is there any type of garage at the site or any dedicated parking area?
No, you just park wherever you can along the side of the house or in front of the house.
And one of your aspects of this proposal is to have ground level parking, correct?
Yeah, it would have parking under the house for three cars.
Okay. And I think your mother...
In a garage.
Your mother indicated that you, too, anticipate living at the site if the house is approved?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we Tracy and I both are going to be moving in there when the house is completed.
And then one last question, and perhaps it's a little obvious, but given the nature and extent of the deficiencies and the limitations, I mean, is there any likelihood of just renovating this structure as opposed to demolition, or given the nature, demolition really is the answer?
Well, I think it is the answer. I think it's the only answer, especially with the basement. But even the inside of the house, there's no closet space. I mean, the closets are about 2 foot by 1 foot deep. We have two closets upstairs. It's unworkable. We have a porch area, and that's completely uninsulated, so you can't use that. And that represents probably a good 30% of the upstairs square footage. The downstairs square footage, we had to put a bathroom in there so we could open it up a little bit. It's really unworkable.
And last question, just for comparison, or just for your mother referenced your sister. Your sister has a property immediately next door?
Yes. We had twin houses. They were identical twin houses, mirror twin houses. So when Diane tore down her house and put the new house up, I mean, we saw immediately just how workable that property was, that home is. So it's easily a year-round home.
And are you trying to emulate or mirror what the board approved for Diane's application three or so years ago?
Yeah, it's almost exactly the same as Diane's. A mirror image, really almost exactly with Diane's. We just took her plans. Diane did a great job.
Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for Mr. Jensen.
Okay, any board members have questions? I'm trying to remember, you're bringing up a professional?
Yes, we have our builder, and then we have our engineer / planner.
Why don't, before we go to that, we'll open to the public, so that if there are any questions for the owners of the homes, if you have a question, please, or a statement about the testimony.
Nope.
If not, moving along. Kevin, thank you very much. Public portion now closed.
Thank you. I'd like to
Okay.
Okay, and Pandora, Ms. Higgins will swear you in.
Okay, thank you. Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Pandora Jacobs, and the last name is spelled J-A-C-O-U-B-S.
All right, good evening, and thank you, Pandora. And just for the record, by whom are you employed?
I work for RBA Homes, who's the builder for the Glennon home.
Okay. And so, Ms. Higgins, I just want to be clear. Ms. Jacobs is not an architect, but she's a builder. I didn't want there to be any confusion. Ms. Jacobs, you're familiar with the property, and you're familiar with the plans which have been submitted?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you just, knowing that the board has the plans, can you just sort of do a general walkthrough of the plans, knowing that our engineer slash planner will be testifying momentarily?
Sure. So this house has been designed as a two-family residence with two bedrooms and two baths on each floor. There is a very large, well, it's a good-sized staircase that accesses both floors. It's 4 foot wide going up the two floors, actually from ground level to the second floor, which really does address the narrowness of the existing home and how inadequate it was. We also have designed it to have a circular exterior stairs, so that complies with the construction code for a second means of egress for a two-family home, and you can see that on the plans.
Can I just stop you and ask what plans you're referring in, so we can...
I'm referring to the Apex Home plans that are dated 8/3/2020. You should have been given those plans. It's
we just have to, for the record, so that's been marked as A3, and
okay.
Again, Candace, I think she's pulling them up now so that everybody can follow
along. Oh, very good. Okay, great. So you can see that the house is, you can see the circular exterior stairs, and if you, I don't know if you can scroll through, but you can see the side elevations. You can see that one of the sides has garage doors, and those garage doors will accommodate a total of 3 cars underneath the house. Which is a requirement in Seabright. The circular stairs, as I mentioned, is a construction code requirement for a two-family home. This house is also raised to comply with FEMA requirements, and I'll defer to Ray Carpenter when you swear him in for his testimony later, but you can see that it's raised pretty high off the ground so that it meets the FEMA requirements and is actually well above the flood zone in the area. The other thing I'd like to mention is that because it's a new home, it has all the energy efficiency features that you would expect for a full-time year-round residence, meaning extra insulation. The furnaces will no longer be in the flood zone. Again, they'll be placed well above the flood on the lower level and in the attic on the upper level, along with the other mechanical equipment such as the hot water heaters. They'll, again, be well above the flood. So that pretty much describes the house as it's been designed. And there you can see the two floors. They're very similar, both with two bedrooms, a large living room, eating room, kitchen area that opens onto the ocean, which is, of course, the best view. And two bathrooms.
And Pandora, do you have any information about the materials that you're expecting to utilize?
Well, the siding will be a low maintenance siding. It will be vinyl. The lower level will be enclosed with pressure treated materials to provide access and protection for the cars that will be parked there. All the energy efficient materials that you would expect, R21 insulation, things like that, will be included in the home.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness at this time.
Nor do I. Any board members have a question? Or the public? Anyone in the public have a question about the testimony? Or a statement? If not, public board is closed.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, last witness, Ray Carpenter.
Mr. Carpenter, raise your right hand.
Yes.
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. Ray Carpenter, C-A-R-P-E-N-T-E-R. And I'm the principal and RC associate.
And you're offering testimony as both an engineer and a professional planner?
That's correct. I've been an engineer for 40 years and a planner for 35.
And you've testified before other land use boards?
Yes. This is probably the first time for Seabright, but I have Monmouth Beach and Long Branch and Rumson, Fairhaven. So.
If without any objection from board members, we will accept your credentials.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carpenter, just for the record, you're familiar with the application and you're familiar with the plans which have been submitted, correct?
That's correct.
And you were obviously here for the testimony of the first three witnesses, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, why don't you just, if you wouldn't mind, just sort of describe the surrounding uses and then we can just go to some of the, you know, engineering details of the home, stormwater management and all those types of important things.
Yes. Based on field observations and checking with the owners, I took an aerial photograph so I could figure out what was actually going on out there. But the house actually there's three houses directly to the north of this site on one lot. One's a two-family house, another's a single-family house, well, two single-family houses. So there's a total of four units on one lot. Directly to the north of this subject property. The house directly behind the subject property is a single family home. The house directly across the street from that house is also a single family home. And as they spoke before, Mrs. Glennon's daughter lives in the house opposite this house from the easement is a two family. And directly behind all these houses to the south is a set of condominiums. I believe there's 50 units in that building. So this is a mixed use occupancy, single family, multifamily area of town, not unlike many areas in Seabright, I'm sure.
Okay. And then just in terms of, and we'll go through the specific variances that we need, but why don't you, from an engineer's standpoint, describe some of the engineering features of the home or engineering details, the topography, grading, and drainage, and those things.
Yeah. One of the first things we did was we applied to the DEP for a jurisdictional determination to see if they were going to require a CAFRA permit. We have gotten a letter from them indicating that no CAFRA permits or coastal permits are required. The other thing is we're in a FEMA flood zone AE10. The requirement is that all mechanical structural elements to this house have to be 3 feet above the flood elevation, so that's elevation 13. And you'll see on my plans, the finished floor elevation is 18.24. The primary reason for that is to provide enough area underneath the structure to park three vehicles and also provide some area for storage. The the lot that sits on, there's an 18-foot easement directly to the south, running from Ocean Avenue back to the single-family house that sits on the river. On the north side, there is a stone gravel driveway that services those three structures I mentioned earlier. The property itself is fairly flat. It does pitch from the back of the property towards Ocean Avenue, but from the back of the property, it pitches towards the river. So it's all gravel at this point. It seems to be draining well. It's not pocketing water anywhere that I can notice. I don't see any reason to alter the grade of this site. I do believe, based on the elevations, it would be somewhat hard to do a drainage system, because I'm sure the water table is about 3 or 4 feet below the existing grade. So from an engineering standpoint, it's a very sound structure that they're proposing. They're providing three parking spaces under the structure. They're looking to put another parking space in the front yard. We'll get into that when we talk about the variances required for this site.
And in terms of, well, I guess why don't you go through the various variances that we need before we hit your planning testimony.
Okay. It is a fully conforming lot as far as lot area is concerned, but we have a lot width variance. 50 feet is required. 41 feet is provided. This is a hardship. There's no land to be bought on either side that the owners would be willing to part with, let's put it that way, to make this lot conforming. And this lot and the lot behind it are both 41 foot in width. The lot area is fine, it's just the lot width. So that's one C variance that we're looking for. The other C variance that we're looking for is the side yard setback. If you notice that the house is not centered on the lot, it's 9.9 feet from the southerly
property. You're talking about right now the existing house.
The existing house. No, the proposed house is 9.95 feet from the southerly borderline and 5.1 feet from the northerly borderline. The idea being that they want area in front of the house that abuts the gravel roadway to probably park additional visitors when they come to visit the site, because there is no other place to really park in the area. They did accommodate three parking spaces under the house and then one additional parking space outside the house. That meets the requirement of Seabright as far as parking space based on two per bedroom, or two per unit.
Ray, with regard to the side yard, what is the existing side yard right now?
The existing side yard to the south is 3.17, and to the north it's 3.17, and to the south it's 15.25. You've got to understand that the existing house is smaller.
Right, and with that existing side yard, it's 3.17 feet on the one side, and we're looking to increase it to 5.1 feet?
That's correct.
All right, so it's still a variance condition, but it's a little bit larger than what exists today, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then you were continuing with the variances?
Yes, the fact that it's a two-family and a single-family residential zone. There are other two-family houses directly adjacent to this structure. This has been a two-family structure for, as apparently, since 1940. I think it's pretty much grandfathered in. I don't know if such a thing is true for a two-family dwelling, but it's been a two-family dwelling for a good number of years. It's family owned and occupied. I don't see any reason for the two-family use of this building to cease.
Ray, we'll come back to that in a bit. Can you talk about the building height? Because we do need a variance for that.
Well, apparently I misread the ordinance. Looking at your engineer's review letter, he indicates that a height variance is not required. And after rereading the ordinance, I'm sure Mr. Holder can agree with me. It says if you have a non-conforming lot, you have to proportionately size the house height-wise to, because it's a non-conforming lot. But this is a non-conforming lot in lot width. It's not a non-conforming lot in lot area. So I guess the position of the town is that it's not a non-conforming lot. As to, in order to calculate the building height. Is that not true, Mr. Holder?
That was my decision. Carrie, do you agree with me?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers, so yeah.
So we noticed for a height variance, but we don't need one. That's always, Carrie, it's always excellent to do it that way. So,
can I just add, though, that when he was going through the variances, you also need a parking in the front yard variance, too.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Okay, why don't you get to that?
Okay, the client advised us that they prefer to have the car parking outside in the front yard off of Ocean Avenue. It's in a front yard variant, in a front yard setback. You're not allowed to have parking in a setback. They have two choices, to put it in the front or they can put it in the back. The clients would like to put the parking in the front on the Ocean Avenue side. It's up to the board whether they feel they'd rather see it in the rear, but no matter where we put it, it's going to be in a setback. So we would need a variance for parking in a setback.
What about Mr. Carpenter? With our proposal, the way we're seeking to get approval, will that in any way compromise the right of way that runs through the development? Because we would not want to harm our neighbors.
No, in no way would this development compromise that development, and it'll actually give a little bit more space to the driveway or property on the north side of this subject property.
And then just to bring home some of your planning testimony, is it your testimony that if this is approved, it'll fit in or it will not fit in with the surrounding neighborhood?
Yes. Like I say, you have a mixed neighborhood of multifamily dwellings and single family dwellings. Probably have been there considerably a long time. The one big thing is that you're taking a structure that's totally non-conforming as far as building code is concerned, FEMA regulations are concerned, zoning regulations that are in place, and overall just the safety of the people that are occupying this dwelling far outweighs any possible detrimental impacts to anybody in the neighborhood. I think the neighborhood is well suited for this type of occupancy. There's two other dwellings on this particular area that are both multifamily dwellings. Obviously, it works, and people are fine with it.
And last question, I know one of the municipal land use law purposes always talks about approving applications which create desirable visual environments, things that look nice and look pretty. Do you, as a professional planner, have any opinion on our proposal in that regard?
Well, the existing house that's on the property is, I'll put it nicely, quaint. the proposed house that they're proposing for the site is much more aesthetically pleasing.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness.
Okay. Board members, does anybody have a question?
I have a question. So I think you said that the house next door, because I think I know the house you're talking about, the house next door is the same exact house that you're building?
Well, yes. It's very close to them, yes.
Right. And then and you park in the front now, right?
They park in the front now, yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's my only question.
You mixed me up there, Peggy. I thought you were talking about how they were identical houses when they were built back in the 40s.
No,
well, I know that. I caught up. Don't worry.
It's very pretty.
Yes. And the house that's existing is not.
It's quaint, right? Cute.
It's quaint. It's quaint.
Need some TLC.
A little bit.
Yes.
Anyone else on the board have a question of the testimony? Harry?
I did. I just wanted to get so that we can make a good record on what the positive, their special reasons are for the use variant. So I know it has been used as a two-family. However, you're demolishing it and starting over. And the testimony was that it's going to be family occupied both sides. Maybe you can just go into why you need it to make keep it a two-family, and you've got to put some special reasons for me.
It's an appropriate use for this house. It's been a two-family house for a number of years. It's being used by a family. It's not being used as a rental. I think they have relatives in the area. I think this is a very appropriate use for this property, and I don't think the fact that it's a two-family house will affect anybody. I think somebody driving by the house wouldn't even know that it was a two-family house. So I think it fits the need. And I don't see any negative impact to this two-family house.
And Mr. Okay. McCary, may I ask two other real quick questions?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Carpenter, from a planning standpoint, is there any value in saying that even though we are demolishing the existing new structure, is there a school of thought that says there's value in the fact that you're not injecting, if the application is approved, we're not injecting a new use to the site that's been different for the last 50 years?
That's correct. We're preserving the existing use on the property.
Okay. And is there any value in the fact that you're not changing the access or the traffic circulation routes?
No, everything's going to be maintained the same as it's been for the last 50, 60 years.
Okay, and I think what you were saying earlier about it's going to be the same. I mean, one of the purposes of the municipal land use law talks about approving applications which represent appropriate places, appropriate development, and appropriate locations. Do you have an opinion if our application advances that purpose?
Yes, like I say, there's a two-family house directly across the right-of-way. There's a two-family house directly behind them. It's a mixed zone. I mean, behind the house to the south, you have a 50-unit condominium project, totally out of character with the neighborhood, but it works. So I think you have to understand this is kind of a mix-and-match neighborhood.
Thanks.
Anyone else on the board? Like to open it. Oh, Dave, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
That's okay. I just had a couple of comments for my letter dated November 6th. If the board chooses to approve this, any work that happens to be done in Ocean Avenue, I know like the sewer, I think, goes over to the south, but if something else has to be done in Ocean, you have to break up the curb or sidewalk, that has to be repaired in kind. Replace in kind, actually. Gutters and leaders should run towards the front, towards Ocean Avenue, sort of be pointed in that direction. The Mr. Carpenter did state that it slopes in that direction, so if the leaders are pointed with 90-degree angles, it should work. The other thing is, I could be wrong, but I thought I saw that the architectural plans show mechanicals on the ground floor that should be changed.
No, they have to be elevated out of the flood.
They are. Excuse me, they are. They're going to be strapped to the joists of the modular. So they're probably going to be...
So they will be above the elevation. Okay.
Yeah, yes, and that's just for the first floor. The second floor, they'll be in the attic.
And for the record, that was Pandora...
Yes.
Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs, yes.
Okay, and then the last thing is the nature and the size of the sewer lateral that's in the in that little right of way. I think to the south should just be shown. So you know, we should
probably
we should understand what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It should be a 4-inch PVC. If it's larger, we'll still note it. But at this point, I anticipate being 4-inch.
Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Thank you, David. Any other questions from board members before we open to the public? If not, is there anyone in the public that has a question about Mr. Carpenter's testimony or questions or a statement?
You know, can I, Mr. Chairman, I hate to do this, and I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but I just looked at the ordinance, and so Dave Hoder, you were saying that because the square footage is in excess of the required, the lot width deficiency would not render it an undersized lot? That was your thinking? We can't hear you, Dave.
Carrie, do you see something different? I can't pull up the ordinance right now.
Yeah. I couldn't pull it up either, so I relied on what I had in mind.
Do you want me to pull it up?
I think in the past we have ruled that if it's the lot itself is too narrow, even if the square footage is okay, we have ruled that. But really, the difference is
okay,
only if, and I'd rather, the board consider a height variance for the 1.5 feet, just because given the fact that the lot has more than enough square footage.
So you're saying just with an abundance of caution, give them the variance?
Yes.
Okay, understand.
Because it really is almost, you wouldn't notice that it's, the proposed height is 34.45, where 33 would be permitted with an undersized lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we would have no objection to that, Carrie, and thank you for the guidance on that, and I do believe, out of an abundance of caution, better to be safe than sorry, particularly in light of the testimony we presented, so thank you.
Okay, why don't we open to the public? Is there anyone in the public has a statement or question? Somebody.
Pandora's phone is on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll mute myself.
Was anybody asking a question?
No, I just wanted to confirm that the applicant's going to comply with Mr. Hoder's letter, which I did just get in the intro, and I'm going to mark it as B1, and that's his letter dated November 6th of this year.
Yes, and Raymond, for the record, is there anything in that letter that you have any objections, or would you say you can address all those issues, right?
I think the only question would be sidewalks. We would put in the resolution if the board is looking to approve that any sidewalk, curbing, aprons that are disturbed or broken as a result of the construction would be replaced in kind. And I'm not sure if Dave Hoder was recommending any additional sidewalk.
I didn't see that.
I was not. I was not recommending additional sidewalk.
Very good. Thank you.
I didn't hear Mr. Carpenter. I didn't know if he...
Your letter, Mr. Holder. Holder.
We agree, sir, to that as a condition of approval. Compliance with that Dave Holder's review letter.
Since there was no participation from the public, board members, any further discussion on the application?
No, this is Dave DeCio. I believe the application is a pleasure to hear something that's not asking for unreasonable requests from us. I think the fact that it was an existing two-family use, it should be continued. The fact that it's identical to the house next door, I think it's a compliment. And I think without any discussion, I have no problem approving this.
Thank you, Dave.
I would agree, Mr. Chairman. I don't know whether or not we can move forward, but I think this makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else?
And just to tag, I believe Mr. DeCeo had indicated earlier that the area itself, per the testimony of Mr. Carpenter, that in that immediate area there are a number of multifamily uses existing, and that the current subject has been utilized as seen.
This is David. If there's no objection, I'd like to make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
And just so we know that the architectural plans should reflect that the mechanicals are at the flood if they don't do so already, and that there will be compliance with Mr. Hoder's letter of November.
So noted.
I believe that was Elizabeth that seconded.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCeo?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
And Mr. Booker?
Yes.
The application passes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good Thanksgiving to all.
To you and
thank
your family.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's nice to see another Seabright compound stay intact.
So noted.
Thank you very much. We can't wait to move in.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Is there any other business for the board this evening? Now, does anyone in the public have a statement or a question? Not? Public portion is closed. Anybody who cares to make the motion tonight?
Make the motion to end the.
Ms. Bills,
make motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll settle that.
Joe,
aye.
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 Aye. Thank you all tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be more difficult to look at the screen. Pretty faces everywhere.